Going to take a look now at prescription eyewear. Jim LaLuzerne, our guest with us by phone today from De Pere, Wisconsin. He's 45 years spent in the optics industry. He's been a president and CEO of five optics-related companies, including the largest optical laboratory network in the world and the largest U.S. distributor of optical goods to wholesale laboratories. He's also a really nice guy, and I'm really pleased to have him back to talk with us about eyewear. Certainly, if you would like to call in, we welcome your calls at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us, and the email address is talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. And we'll welcome your calls, and we'll welcome Jim LaLuzerne right now. Jim, hi. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Hi, Larry. I'm happy to be here.
There's a story in the New York Times last week that asks about why are round sunglasses the hot fashion items this year? You wonder who decides to look and how did they all come together all at once?
Well, it's kind of a story that's probably very similar to why all of a sudden a certain kind of blue jean is popular or a certain kind of shirts or dresses or whatever. There are fashion designers that design eyeglass frames the same as they do clothing and, I guess, automobile styles and other things. And they get together on a regular basis, and they show their styles. And I think one influences another, and it happens that way. Historically, there's been some real interesting things that have happened because a movie star or someone has worn a particular kind of eyeglass or sunglasses, and then, of course, it picks up on it. That most people probably remember the picture of Jackie Onassis with the big big sunglasses.
Yeah.
And when that happened, every store in the country couldn't get couldn't keep sunglasses in stock anymore of that type. Recently, when Sarah Palin got into the news, and she had a particular type of, not sunglasses, but regular dress eyeglasses, everybody in the optical business had people coming in looking for that. They said, I want the Sarah Palin glasses. Fortunately, that was a pretty common look at the time, and so they were able to make that without running out of them. But it's like a lot of things, you know, hula hoops, you know, how does it happen? We don't know.
What are the minimum requirements? We're not talking eyeglasses here again, but back to sunglasses for just one more question. What are the minimum requirements for sunglasses to protect the eyes and be good looking?
Sure. One of the things that I like to tell people, in addition, and I'll talk about the tint itself and the lens, but in addition to the lens itself and the frame should be big enough to cover the eye and the area around the eye. And if you've ever worn a small pair of sunglasses, you realize that sun can come in the tops, the sides, and even though you're protected from what you're looking at directly, it's still very uncomfortable. So people, you know, get a large frame or front large lens. Some plain sunglasses actually have a rim around the outside to stop the light from coming in, especially if you get fishing glasses.
Yeah.
You've probably noticed that.
Oh, yeah.
And then a wide-brimmed hat to protect from sun from above really makes a lot of difference. So that's in the actual physical dimensions of the eyeglass frame, and that's kind of common sense, I think. The lenses themselves, the good news is that almost all sunglasses that are provided today, other than maybe something that you might find in a flea market where you know you don't know where they were made or where they came from, they all have absorb ultraviolet light, which is potentially dangerous to the eye. And you can tell by looking at the lens that they also absorb the visible light, which makes them more comfortable. It is possible to make a lens that absorbs visible light that does not absorb ultraviolet light.
Mm.
And years ago, that was pretty common. Today, because the underlying materials absorb, most of them absorb ultraviolet light, that's very uncommon. The one caution is, like I said, if you get something that, I know it, sometimes I go to a flea market and they got racks of sunglasses that you don't know what their lineage is. So
yeah.
I'd be a little afraid of that. There's another part, though. Part of the visible spectrum on the end toward the blue light spectrum, there's some people that believe that some of that light, especially in high intensities, can, even though it's visible light, can do some damage to the eye. So there are people that recommend that lenses that are blue or absorbing lenses, that would be more like, remember, there used to be a lot of ads on TV for blue blockers, copper-colored, more on that end, greenish tint. If you're concerned about that, that's not in the ultraviolet spectrum, but it is part of the visible spectrum. It does change the color of what you see, but it's usually not an objectionable change. And as a matter of fact, my lenses that I have are kind of the bronze-colored sunglasses, and I like that, and it also provides a little protection in that area.
Yeah. What, does lens density affect how well lenses will protect your eyes?
Well, you have to say what the density is at whatever wavelength you're trying to get out. So, for example, a normal pair of, you know, relatively dark sunglasses that you might buy will absorb 80% of the visible light spectrum. That's kind of a norm. So 20% of the light actually comes through to your eye. But it does absorb 100% of ultraviolet light. So when you the density, you have to define the density based on the frequency of the light. And if, of course, let's say in the visible light, you had 50% transmission, there would be less of the visible light that would be coming through and maybe less comfort wearing the glasses. But some lenses, for example, a transition lens, varies depending on the light intensity. So if you go out on a very overcast day, and you've probably done this yourself with a pair of really dark sunglasses, just too dark for the overcast day, but you still want to get some protection. And that's why it's nice to have, in that case, a lens that can vary depending on the amount of light.
You'd like to join in with a question, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. An email from Ann wondering, do you have information about lens implants following cataract surgery, mainly these lenses, they're called crystal lenses, which are designed to eliminate the need for any type of glasses following surgery.
Sure. Crystal lens, it's all one word, and it's a name brand intraocular lens. And there's been many different types of intraocular lenses. They've been around for, I think, over 30 years. And, if, to answer that properly, a little bit of background, the human lens in the eye changes focus by getting skinnier or fatter. There's a muscle around the human lens that squeezes it down to make it fatter or stretches it out to make it thinner. And that changes the focal length of your eye so that in normal vision, if you're looking in the distance, it gets flatter. You can see in the distance, and if you want to read, it wants to make that lens a little bit fatter, so it squeezes the lens, and you can read up close. As we get older, a couple things happen to that lens in the eye. One, if you have cataracts, the lens gets cloudy, and so you're looking through a kind of a milky lens. The other thing is that the lens gets tougher, harder to flex. And so when your eye is trying to look up close, it can't squeeze it down to make it a little bit chubbier, and so you can't read up close. And that's why people have to wear reading glasses or a progressive lens bifocals in order to see up close. If the lens in the eye, the human lens, is removed because it's cloudy, and that's usually the reason that it's done, the doctor replaces that lens with a plastic lens. And that plastic lens can't squeeze down and get fatter when the muscle tightens down on it. So for many years, the solution was the doctor put that lens in there with the right curves so that in most cases people would be able to see clearly in the distance. You went in for cataract surgery and you had to wear glasses for the distance. Many times people came out and they could see just fine in the distance. Their whole life they've had to wear glasses for distance. All of a sudden, not only is the world clearer, but they can see in the distance. But the problem is that that lens can't be squeezed down to make fatter, to be made fatter so that you can read up close. So you still had to have something to read close with. Now, the good news is progressive lenses are an absolutely perfect solution for that kind of condition, because a progressive lens can be made with little or no power for the distance, and it gets progressively stronger for the reading part, but you not only can read with it, but you can see everything in between. So it gradually changes. You can see beautiful in the distance and beautiful for reading and everything in between, and it provides what I like to call a high-definition vision. Very, very, you know, if you go into the doctor's office and get your eyes checked, it's a very, very accurate, precise vision. But some people are trying to find ways of not wearing eyeglasses. And what happens is that some of these people have chosen to get what they call a crystal lens. And the crystal lens does something a little different. The muscle is still there in the eye. It can't make the lens thicker or fatter. But the way it's attached to the muscle is that when the eye tries to make it fatter, it has a tendency to move the lens a little bit closer to the retina. And so it moves it back and forth instead of changing the shape. And people, some people, not all, but some people are able to find that they can get some intermediate vision by doing that. Ideally, if it was able to move it far enough back, you could read and then move it up a little bit for intermediate vision. I think the crystal lens, again, it's a name brand product. I think it's in its second or third generation right now. And I do know some people that report that it works somewhat for some patients. I think in most cases, you know, if I was having it done myself, I guess if that's the question, I'd get a standard lens put in and I'd wear progressive lenses over the top, and then I could see wherever I wanted to with very high definition vision.
Yeah, makes sense. David and Vernon, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
I've got an easy generic question for you. I had LASIK surgery done, and yes, I have 20/15 vision, which is unusual, but of course I'm older now, and up close inside of 3 feet, I can't see worth a darn. I wear reading glasses, and they work just great. My question is, and it's a generic one, what's the difference between reading glasses like you'd buy at Walgreens or Walmart and prescription reading glasses?
That's a good question, and it's a question that we'll take up right after this look at the news. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. We're talking prescription eyewear with Jim LaLuzerne of De Pere, Wisconsin, 45 years in the optics industry. Really great to have him back to talk about your eyewear and mine. Give us a call with your questions at 1-800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org. And Jim, we have a question from David in Vernon, Wisconsin, about reading glasses, or essentially non-prescription glasses, versus prescription reading glasses.
Larry, this is a topic that I know we've talked about before, and it's one that I like to talk about often because I think that some people have a lot of misinformation about it. First of all, one of the reasons that I have a problem with off-the-shelf reading glasses is that people really need an eye examination for reasons other than just reading. And sometimes they don't go to the eye doctor because they say, oh, I can read fine, and I just buy these off-the-shelf glasses. And the doctor's eye examination does a whole lot more than just check your prescription. And most people that need reading glasses, it's at the time of their life, they're getting older, and there's a number of eye health conditions that really should be looked at a regular basis to make sure you don't have glaucoma or macular degeneration or other diseases of the eye. So, number one, go get an eye exam on a regular basis. If you've had an eye exam, you don't need eyeglasses, but you need some help reading. Reading eyeglasses, other than maybe causing some strain on your eyes, possibly causing some strain on your eyes, can't hurt you. So I guess that's important to know that. You do have some compromises with off-the-shelf reading glasses. Number one, the lens in an off-the-shelf reading glass is the same power for the right lens as it is for the left lens. And very few people have the exact same need for one lens or the other. So you end up with a different prescription in each eye when a prescription pair of reading glasses would have the exact power that you need in each eye. Also, there's what they call a pupillary distance, or PD, on a pair of eyeglass frames, and that means that the optical center of the lens needs to be placed in front of the pupil of the eye, in the center of the pupil, at the point where you're reading. And off-the-shelf ones do not. They have kind of a standard PD, and very few people have a standard PD. So they're not placed in front of the eye properly. Also, if you have any astigmatism whatsoever, they don't correct for that, where prescription eyeglasses, reading glasses would. Another thing that's important to me and a lot of people is an anti-reflection coating, and the great majority of the ones that you buy off the shelf do not have an anti-reflection coating, and it's something that you can't put on in reading glasses. And then the frame itself, generally speaking, are inexpensive frames that if you got a pair of prescription reading glasses, you could get a better quality frame that could be adjusted better for your face and give you better vision. If you really like to read and you do a lot of reading, I'd recommend the prescription reading glasses. But if you choose off-the-shelf reading glasses, it's not going to hurt you in the long run.
All right, let's go. I can tell you from experience, they make a world of difference when you've got the prescription reading glasses. That's for sure. Fred in New Berlin, your turn. Hi, Fred.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, we hear different stories on the material that the lenses should be made out of. The lighter bicarbonate or whatever, I probably don't have the right terms, the lighter ones aren't as optically correct as the heavier, thicker ones. Is there anything to that?
Well, I think you were referring to polycarbonate lenses.
Yes, and then there was two types. One was cheaper, one was more expensive. The cheaper one was heavier.
Yes,
supposedly better optically.
The standard for many years was a type of plastic called CR39, and it made excellent optics, but it was heavier. And polycarbonate not only is a lighter material in itself, but because it has a higher index of refraction, the curves can be made flatter, and the lens becomes thinner as well. Polycarbonate is the most commonly used material now throughout the United States, and it is an excellent product. Sometimes in very high prescriptions, some people notice some chromatic aberration on the edges of the lens as their eyes move toward the edges. It is only on, it's usually on a higher prescription lens, and it's usually when you look off-center. That being said, there are lots and lots of lenses made with high prescription lenses, and people are very, very satisfied with it. Polycarbonate is an excellent material. It is very, very impact resistant. I think if it's not the best, it's very close to the best from impact resistance. The lens just does not break if it's hit with something, except, I suppose, in very, very extreme circumstances. Now, if you had a very unusual high prescription, there are some cases where there are high-index materials that do not have as much chromatic aberration, and they usually are more expensive than polycarbonate, and your doctor may say, with your extreme prescription in this area, this higher-index material may give you better vision in the periphery of the lens and not have the chromatic aberration.
So what was that one called then?
Well, there's a number of different high-index materials that they're called, and there's some that have various brand names to them. They would explain those as an index of refraction. Polycarbonate has an index, I don't want to get real technical, but an index refraction of 1.58. Some of these other materials are 1.7 index of refraction or 1.65. The higher that number, the more they change the curve or change the power with a lesser curve.
Okay.
All right.
So good luck.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call.
Oh.
Thanks, Fred. Bjorn and Madison, will turn to you next. Hi, Bjorn.
Hi. About a year ago, I bought a pair of prescription eyeglasses online. using all the information on the prescription I had received from my optometrist. And I was able to purchase them for significantly less, you know, somewhere in the $10 to $15 a pair range. I've been wearing them for about a year and have noticed no real problems. Is there a reason I should pay more for optical shop glasses? Am I missing something here?
Well, I'm glad you're happy with what you've got. And as I said with the off-the-shelf readers, if they're not causing you discomfort when you're wearing them, there's nothing going to hurt you by doing that.
Okay.
A couple things that can happen, though. One, if you're not trying on the frame, you're ordering them off of a catalog or whatever, the fit of the frame is a hard thing to do.
Okay.
And if yours worked, you're lucky. Most people have a hard time with that. Secondly, the pupillary distance, the distance between your eyes, is a very, very important number. And if that is not, normally that's not part of the doctor's prescription.
Actually, it was on mine, so.
Okay, well, then you do have that. And then if they made that to that PD, that's a good thing, but it's not normally part of the prescription.
Okay.
So you lucked out in that area.
Okay, great.
And then the other thing that I like to explain to people, I think the fidelity of a pair of glasses. In other words, if the doctor, if you order it through the doctor, the doctor sends it off to a laboratory that makes it, you send it back to the doctor, and the doctor inspects that to make sure that they got what they're supposed to get.
Okay.
You don't have that with the pair of glasses you've got. If you're comfortable with them, you think you can see well with them,
yep.
I can't argue with that, but I think you're in a small minority of people that would be happy with those circumstances.
Okay.
And particularly if you get into multifocals or more complicated eyeglasses, then the likelihood of your happiness goes down.
Okay. All right, thanks, Bjorn.
All right, thanks a lot.
Yeah, appreciate the call. You can join in, too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. Let's go to Ralph in Amherst next. Hi, Ralph.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my call. A few years back, I had lens implants due to cataracts, and it seems to me when the doctors put those in that they gave me polarized lenses. And could you, inform me a little bit about how polarized lenses in my eyes, how those work with or don't work with polarized sunglasses, and do I even need the polarized sunglasses with polarized lenses?
In my 45 years of optical business, 45 plus years, I've never heard of a polarized intraocular implant. So I can't, if there is such a thing, I'm just totally I'm not aware of it. The intraocular implants, some of them are ultraviolet absorbing or UV absorbing lenses.
That might have been more of what it was. It's been a few years back.
Okay. It was, and most, if not all, intraocular lenses today have ultraviolet absorbing properties. It's very easy to make it as part of the lens, and your normal lens in your eye absorbs ultraviolet to a great extent. So the retina of your eye would be damaged very much if any ultraviolet got through. And so the putting in an ultraviolet absorbing lens in your eye is very helpful. That has nothing to do with the polarization. So if you wanted to wear polarized lenses, it would not interfere with that in any way.
Okay. There you have it, Ralph. Thank you for calling. And let's turn to Colleen in Green Bay next. Hi, Colleen.
Hi. I have a question about clip-on sunglasses. I had cataract surgery, and, of course, now I have the follow-up with the glasses to see close. And I had to order the clip-ons, and they were called Silhouette, and I don't know if
I know the name, yes.
You're familiar with that?
Yes.
And anyway, so they just really fit the lenses. They don't override or block out any sun. Now, is that not good, or should I have gone with something else?
Well, Silhouette is a manufacturer of eyeglass frames. It's been around for a long time. It's a very good frame company. And one of the things that they do is they make for a lot. They're known for this. There's other companies that do this as well, but they make a lot of their glasses have clip-on sunglasses that are made to fit the shape of the frame that you have. And so when you put them on, do they have like little magnets on them to help hold them on?
They're not magnets. It's a little clip that goes over that nose part, and I just kind of clip it on, you know. It's not a magnet.
Okay, some of them have little magnets that hold it. Other ones have the little clip.
Okay. But
they're designed. They're the same shape as the lens of your frame, and they look very nice. You can buy clip-ons that are made to different shapes, and you can put those on over any pair of glasses, and they don't look like the same glasses. They're made bigger. So if you were worried that you weren't getting enough coverage around, you know, because most dress eyeglasses with clear lenses are made smaller.
Right.
And if you want to get a bigger area of coverage, you could do a couple things. One, you could actually get a pair of prescription sunglasses, of course, or you could use your prescription glasses that you've got and get a clip-on, which would be larger than the frame, and I'm sure that your doctor could help you with that. As in a third alternative, they actually make fit-over sunglasses that you wear your prescription glasses underneath, and the fit-over sunglasses go in front of them, and then they cover a lot larger area.
All right. Now, are those available? Would I have to get that through my eye doctor, or where would I get the larger ones that just go over my over my prescription glasses?
Most eye doctors would have those.
Okay.
So you could find them there, but you could probably also find them in a lot of drugstores have an eyeglass part. I mean, even if they don't have prescription eyeglasses in there, they've got a section where they might have reading glasses, and they've got sunglasses, and some of those have the either clip-ons that cover that or the fit-over glasses.
Okay, and then I would get the polarized sunglasses. Is that...
If you can get polarized that work, that's a very good choice.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks,
good luck,
Colleen, for calling. Let's see. We've got Mike and Seneca next. Mike, hello.
Thank you, Larry.
Yes.
Yeah, I have a question about, I have blurred vision, I have a glaucoma condition, and I have taken eye drops, and one of the byproducts is blurred vision could occur. Well, anyway, I have a problem. I have trifocals. I have a problem where the top one, the trifocal, actually I can see at close distances better than the bifocal, and I told my eye doctor about it, and I said I want him to write a prescription to the eyeglass place because they wouldn't do it unless the doctor ordered it, and he wouldn't do it. I wanted the top one down on the bottom. So my question, one of my questions is to you is, would a progressive lens be a solution? Because I am a type of a person, I'm close up, distance, mid-range, and I'm all over the board. And it's just driving me crazy right now, and it's about my third or fourth pair of glasses trying to resolve it, and it's not getting resolved.
Well,
yeah,
that's a very, very legitimate question, and I think if I was you, my first choice would be to get a progressive lens, because the beauty of a progressive lens, especially if you get a good one, is you can pick the distance. You know, it's an infinite number of distances on the lens. There's, you know, you can see in the distance, and you can see up close, and you can see everywhere in between. And there's like a channel, and you put your eye to the right spot. And so that would be what I would do, and I would recommend that part. If for some reason, you know, that didn't work, and you had a reading need, they can make the reading power any power that they want. And a typical trifocal, you've got a distance vision, and then you've got the very bottom of the trifocal, which is the same power that they would normally put in a bifocal. And then that little ribbon or that little segment between the reading part and the distance, that power is usually, not always, but usually one half of the power that's in the full bifocal. And if you're finding that's better, sometimes those drops for glaucoma can change your vision a little bit, and that's probably what you're experiencing. And that the progressive lens sounds like a perfect alternative for that.
Yeah, it sure does. Good luck, Mike. Thank you very much for calling. Molly phoned and wondered what your thoughts are about eye therapy. Are there eye doctors that you recommend for that sort of thing?
Eye therapy has been around for a long time, and I think that there are some people that have had some very good success with it. It's like a lot of that kind of thing, that it's a very spotty response. I know this goes back many years, but there was a young boy that had that I know that had very difficult time reading. His eyes weren't working together, and he went to an optometrist that I knew, and she worked with him for about a month, not steady, but you know, once a week for a month, and he ended up being able to read very, very well from doing that. So there are some conditions, and it's usually caused because the eyes do not work together, and some of these exercises can help. So I would, I know that it doesn't work in all cases, but I know of cases where it has worked.
Joyce emailed us and said she wants to reinforce your point about going to the eye doctor, because they do more than just update your prescription. A few years ago, my optometrist found a nevus in my eye, essentially a freckle in the retina. He referred me to the UW Retina Clinic, and they checked it for me once a year. And last October, the retina doctor found that it had turned into a melanoma, although I had no symptoms at all. I've since been treated and have a good prognosis, but going to the optometrist literally saved my life.
That's a pretty amazing story, and I hear things like that. I've heard stories like that my whole life, so that's a wonderful, wonderful comment.
Yeah, I really thank you very much, Joyce, for sending that email. Sandy in Milwaukee, it's your turn. Hi, Sandy.
Good afternoon. I was diagnosed with Horner's syndrome, and they sent me to my neurologist. They did an MRI, just a brain scan, to make sure there were no tumors. But I guess I'm not clear as to what Horner's syndrome is.
I don't know that term relating to a vision.
Well, I had noticed my left eye seemed to be shrinking. And then one day my sister said, "I don't mean to offend you, but do you think you might have had a stroke?" Because she, too, noticed it.
I just don't know that term regarding vision or eyes, and I'm not sure what it is. So I'm just sorry, I just can't help you there.
Oh. Sorry, we can't help on that one. Evan in Wauwatosa, we'll try you. Hi, Evan.
Yeah, my issue is, after reading for about 20 minutes, I'll look up and everything will be blurry, and then I'll try to go back to read, and all the letters will be blurry.
And when you're reading, are you, staring at the same thing? And you're reading okay. It's just when you take a break, it's
right. I don't even notice it until I take my break.
Well, the one thing that I've heard over the years that people have said is, whenever you do any visual task, particularly reading, or at a computer, if your eyes are at a specific focal distance for a long time, I mentioned earlier that the lens of your eye is controlled by a muscle that squeezes the lens down and holds it in a certain position. And when you look in the distance, that muscle relaxes, and then your eye can go back to the distance vision. And what I believe happens in that scenario is that your muscle squeezes that lens down, you're reading, and then when you look in the, if you don't look in the distance, or when you do look in the distance, it's trying to relax, and it's like any muscle, I suppose, it could get tired from doing that.
Yeah.
And it has a difficulty working itself back and forth. Now, I do know that many times people are recommended that whatever you're doing, any visual task, you take a break and look off in the distance, you look close, go back, and you take breaks more often. And that's about the only thing that I could suggest. And if it persists, certainly talk to your doctor about it.
Absolutely. Well, Jim, with that, we are out of time. Thank you so much for being with us. I hope you'll visit with us again.
I would love to.
Oh, thank you, Jim. Jim LaLuzerne of De Pere, Wisconsin, our guest today. It's always a pleasure to have somebody with his knowledge on the program to talk about prescription eyewear, and I'm sure that we will have him back again. I'm sorry we didn't get to everyone, but as usual, that's what happens here. We can't get to everybody. But we have another show coming up, and of course, tomorrow we are taking up a couple of different topics. This time, both topics relate to food. First, we'll talk our artisan cheeses, the artisan cheeses of Wisconsin. Gene Carpenter will be our guest to talk about that. I'll probably be sampling a little cheese tomorrow, maybe some pastries too, because we'll talk fine pastries with a couple of guests, Mary Pappas and Punky Egan, tomorrow as well. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.